someone made a request to keep it short this morning. And I know that there are a lot of kids and they're ready to participate in some festivities today, so I promise I will keep it short for a change. So, well, how are your holidays going? Are they everything you've dreamed of them to be? Have they met your lofty expectations? Or has God left you a little disappointed for whatever reason this holiday season? And if that's the case, then I've got a story for you, because perhaps you can identify with someone named Betty Penrose. On August 17th, 1960, Betty Penrose's house in Phoenix, Arizona was struck by lightning and burned to the ground. That's a really bad day, right? And I hope you never have to go through something like that. And so she was, of course, devastated. And when bad things happen, people look for someone to blame. It's just human nature, right? But who could Betty Penrose blame for this disaster? Sometimes accidents happen. Well, Betty Penrose decided to blame God. But she didn't just blame God. She went to court and sued God for damages totaling $100,000. Now, that's ridiculous. Who has jurisdiction over God? But Betty's lawyer was clever, as lawyers often are. He didn't try to sue God in Phoenix. He sued God in Sonoma, California. Now, why Sonoma? Well, there was a hippie who lived in Sonoma named Louis Gottlieb who owned a commune. And he signed the deed of his ranch over to God. Evidently, Gottlieb believed that God was the rightful owner of his land, so he gave back the land to the Almighty. So God became the lawful owner of 30 acres of land in Sonoma, California. Well, Betty Penrose's lawyer reasoned that if God could own land in Sonoma, then Sonoma had jurisdiction over him. Therefore, God could be sued there. And you know what? The courts agreed. The lawsuit was allowed to proceed, and Betty Penrose won her suit against God and was awarded the $100,000 she had asked for. Unfortunately for her, there's no way to extract money from God, so her victory was only symbolic. But when things don't go the way we expect in life, we want to blame God, right? We want to stand in judgment over him. We want to somehow hold him responsible when our holidays don't turn out as we had planned. But as we'll see in today's Christmas passage, God doesn't shy away from his responsibilities. When Joseph's life took a turn he didn't expect that first Christmas, he was ready to blame someone. But God stepped in and took responsibility for what had happened. And the rest is history. So listen as I read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph was set to marry a virgin named Mary. But she was found to be with child. And Joseph knew that he wasn't the father, so he assumed Mary and some other person were to blame for this unwed pregnancy. And that would have been a reasonable assumption, right? So as any self-respecting man would do, Joseph sought to break off the engagement. But there was no need to make a bad situation worse, so Joseph decided to break off the engagement quietly rather than put Mary to public shame. But can you imagine how devastating this news must have been to Joseph? Sometimes lightning strikes in your life, even at Christmas. And Joseph's entire life burned to the ground with that one bit of news. From his point of view, his girl had betrayed him, and their life together was over before it started. But then God intervened, and he took full responsibility for what had happened to Mary. God showed up in a dream and told Joseph that Mary had come to conceive not through natural means, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he shouldn't be afraid to marry her, and he should name her son Jesus. During our Advent series on Sunday mornings, if you've been here, you know we've been going through all the names of Jesus that were pinned on the Messiah by the prophet Isaiah. It says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So those were some of the titles of the Savior who was predicted by the prophets hundreds of years prior to Jesus' birth. But the Messiah's literal name was Jesus. And that's significant too, because the name Jesus in the original language meant God saves. Joseph was told to name the child God Saves. And God does save, right? Let me show you something Jesus said in John 5:24. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." So do you want real peace this holiday season? Do you want eternal life? Do you want salvation? Well, you don't need to sue to get it. You don't need to twist God's arm. You don't even need to work for it. God gives it to you. When you believe in Jesus, he gives you salvation. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So Jesus already did all the work with his perfect life and his death on the cross for your sins and his resurrection. It's already been accomplished. You just believe. And isn't that good news? Salvation is a free Christmas gift today. So believe him and receive it. But as we see in this passage, God saves more than your soul. God redeems your life. Maybe you can relate to Joseph this Christmas in some small way. Maybe life has thrown you a curve this season. Maybe things haven't worked out as you had hoped. Maybe you're alone this Christmas. Maybe this is the first Christmas without a loved one who has passed on. Maybe your career has taken a turn. Maybe family life hasn't turned out as you'd hoped it would. And maybe there's no one to blame, really. As was the case with Betty Penrose, sometimes things just happen. But the very name of Jesus means God saves. And he's also called Emmanuel in this passage, which means God with us. God saves, and God is here. So my advice to you this Christmas is to allow God to take responsibility for the universe. Because this situation in your life that seems irredeemable now might be the means by which God redeems your life. The Apostle Paul recognized this. He says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Joseph thought Mary's unexpected pregnancy was the end. He thought the relationship was over. But it turned out that God was responsible for that situation. And it turned out to be the exact circumstance from which God would enter into Joseph's life. Imagine all the joy that Jesus must have brought into Joseph's life. Imagine the satisfaction Joseph drew from the fact that his adopted son was actually the Son of God. God would literally be with him every day for the rest of his life. And maybe he's doing that for you today. Maybe this disaster that has come into your life is going to open a door to greater connection with God. I have one more short story for you. It would have been awful to live in Britain during the Nazi bombing campaigns of World War II. On the night of November 14th, 1940, 515 German bombers destroyed half the buildings in Coventry, England, including Covington Cathedral. The 500-year-old church was utterly destroyed. But the next morning, someone noticed that two of the roof timbers had fallen into the shape of a cross. And the people were moved by this symbolism. Even in all that devastation, Jesus was still with them. The leader of the church, Richard Howard, even wrote, "Father, forgive," on one of the ruined walls of the building. It was so moving that BBC decided to broadcast their annual Christmas service from the ruins of that cathedral. And Richard Howard implored the audience that Christmas day not to hate the Germans for the war, but to seek reconciliation. He entreated them to build a kinder, more Christ-like world, he said, after the war. Well, the war eventually ended, of course. The Nazis lost and Germany was in shambles. But as a sign of friendship, a small cross was made from some of the medieval nails from Coventry Cathedral that was presented to the St. Nikolai Church in Kiel, Germany, which had also been destroyed during the war. The cross of nails was a moving gesture of peace. Since then, hundreds of crosses of nails have been presented by Coventry Cathedral to different churches and organizations around the world who promote reconciliation between enemies. You see, God isn't responsible for the terrible things people do to one another sometimes. God isn't responsible for the sin in our world. But God is responsible for redeeming all of it. So if your life has been thrown a curve this holiday season and your world may be in shambles, you don't need to sue to hold God accountable. He gladly takes responsibility for redeeming it all. He is in the midst of that mess. And the mess may just be the means by which God saves your life this holiday season. Well, it's time for us to move into the candle.